Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 56, and it's a Monday, June 26, 2017. I am Nard.
And this is Ray.
Welcome, everyone, to our show, The Gay Geek Bizarre, where we talk about gay, geek, and bizarre topics. So, before we go on, we usually do our weekend updates. So, Ray, we didn't do anything at all this week, or last week.
Well, speak for yourself.
Well, I was sick. I stayed home. I had a stomachache, and I just had to rest for a couple of days. Liquid diet and everything is really awful, but, you know. Mm-hmm. You've been busy yourself?
Yeah. Well, I've been sitting home. For Pride, I sit at home in the AC and watched Man in the High Castle.
You know, so how do you find it? Because I've been hearing about that for the longest time, you know, Man in the High Castle.
It's actually pretty good. The premise of the story is... it's an alternative timeline where Germany and Japan won World War II. And they pretty much split most of the world in between those two countries.
So. Isn't that where Nathan Fillion is playing? Is that what he is?
No.
No? Oh, no. It must be something else. Oh, that one is just Castle. Simply Castle. Yeah. Okay, so that kind of threw me off. Yeah, I heard about that. I heard it's really interesting.
It's actually pretty good. I recommend it. I had to quit watching it for a few days because I was watching it back to back, and I was starting to get paranoid and be like Heil Hitler everywhere. So I was like, had to lay off for a day or two.
Nice. Okay.
So I started on Shameless now.
Oh, Shameless! You really are, because my friend, Mark is watching. My friend Mark is watching that. Oh my God!
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is pretty funny. There's some episodes. It was which one, the British or the American?
The American.
American one, okay. Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, we got to watch last weekend with Julio.
Yeah, we watched Transformers the last night.
What do you think about it? I didn't like...
I liked it better than I liked the... what was the last one called?
The Fallen, Revenge of the Fallen.
The Fallen or something like that. I like this one better. So
really,
it was more interesting, more action adventure. You know,
I don't know. I had mixed feelings about it because, some of the Autobots are just their jokes are getting old. Oh. And
but Bumblebee was pretty hot this time.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's pretty good. But then
I like Cogsworth.
Cogsworth with the cigar. Is he the one with the cigar?
No, he was the butler.
Oh, okay. So remember
I like the French Transformer who turned into the French Ferrari. Was it not a Ferrari? What's the French sports car he turned into?
Ferrari. Well, I don't know.
I don't think that was a Ferrari.
Oh.
Now that Bentley sports car that what's his name was driving was awesome. I want one. I can't afford one, but I want one.
Oh really? Oh, Anthony Hopkins,
the one that the Bentley sports car. That was nice.
You know what I? It's really, they squeeze a lot of stories in between. There's so many plots, just way too many plots in between.
Yeah.
But the effects are great. Michael Bay, yeah, as usual.
And they set it up for one more movie. So
not really. What I didn't like, what I really hated, one part about it. When Megatron was trying to negotiate to get some of the Decepticons, and they were flashing their names like a Kill Bill. Oh, come on! They could have done away with that. It was not called for. I don't know. I didn't like that part. I found it kind of weird. So anyway, last weekend, like I said, oh, by the way, happy Pride, everyone. Happy Pride. And we forgot, like I said, we stayed home. We didn't do any of the festivities. And I stayed home.
You know why we didn't do that, Maynard?
Raining. We're old. We're getting old.
We're old. No, it had nothing to do with raining. We were both old.
Speak for yourself.
And we didn't want to go deal with all those drunk-ass whippersnappers down there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, Ray, so shall we go to our stories?
All right, on to the gays.
Mm-hmm. Can I take this one?
Well, a true... huh?
Can I take this one?
Sure, you can take this one.
Yeah, it's about the queen. Of course, it's the queen. Oh, my God, it's the queen. Is that gay?
A real queen.
A real queen.
A real queen.
Okay, so it's about the queen, and it's always nice to talk about the queens once in a while. So Queen Elizabeth vows to protect LGBTQ rights, and she will not be meeting with Trump for tea time anytime soon. Queen Elizabeth II isn't having any of the anti-LGBT rhetoric being spewed by Donald Trump, Mike Pence, and other Republicans. In an address to the UK Parliament today, the 91-year-old monarch said her government was pledging to protect LGBTQ people from discrimination. So said a queen, "My government will make further progress to tackle gender pay gap and discrimination against people on the basis of their race, faith, gender, disability, or sexual orientation." But it didn't stop there. The queen also informed the public that the rumored state visit by Donald Trump would not be happening. Of course, she doesn't want to be around him. Theresa May originally invited Trump for a visit when she met with him at the White House back in January. But after Trump's brutish behavior, outlandish tweets, and the recent Twitter fight he picked with London's Muslim mayor over the terrorist attack on London Bridge, it appears that invitation has been rescinded. The monarch's address to the to Parliament, which is written by lawmakers and delivered by the Queen, typically mentions all planned state visits, but Her Majesty have no mention of Trump whatsoever, only saying she would be welcoming King Philippe and Queen Letizia of Spain in July. So no Trump in the UK anytime soon, and I don't think he'll ever be there. Maybe he would go, but no politician would be visiting or would like to see him. What do you think, Rain?
No, I don't want to see him.
I don't want to see him either. Well, yeah. Would you get an autograph with, or even a photo with him?
No.
No?
I ain't got time for that kind of negativity in my life.
That's right. Okay, so yeah, good for the queen that she's going to be, you know, a enforcer of gay LGBTQ rights. That's awesome in the UK. And yeah, and that's good for her. 91 years old? Yeah. I can't believe she's that old.
She just celebrated her, was it Golden Jubilee, just a few years ago, 50 years on the throne.
Oh, wow, okay.
She was young when she ascended to the throne. She was in her 20s, I think, if I remember correctly.
Wow.
So
yeah,
okay, now on to our second gay, which I'm all excited about.
I know.
It's a gay book club, Maynard. It's a gay
book
club.
We should do it right. Actually, I'm reading a gay book right now. It's by Bare Bones. It's, I forgot the title, but it's one of the people we interviewed in the show. I'm just about reading right now. Oh, I'm talking about, we read a book. I'm reading a book right now that we interviewed in Bear Podcast a couple of years ago. So now I'm getting up to speed to read it. It's one of the Bare Bones books. Go ahead, Ray.
Okay. All right. More and more guys are deleting Grindr, and I understand why, and joining gay book clubs because reading is sexy. Yes, it is. Jason Chen, I think I already like this guy that started all this.
Uh-huh, Jason Chen.
Jason Chen was sick of meeting losers on Grindr. I understand that. The sex was never great. Nope. And the conversation was even worse. Yep. So he deleted that and started a gay book club instead. Maybe I should do this. Our club is pretty standard issue, Chen explains in a new article published by The Cut. We send endless emails trying to gather, spend much of our time gossiping, have roles-fueled debates about whether Elena Ferrante could possibly be a man, or whether the narrative of the idols falls on spectrum,
or the idiot falls. That's the title. The idiot.
The idiot. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm reading it too fast. Mm-hmm. Or if a little life qualifies more as a torture or interiors porn. The other difference from Chin's book clubs and say regular old book club, some of our members will probably have sex with each other, Chin states. The club has about a dozen or so gay guys in the early 30s with a few straight women thrown in for good measure. They meet every few weeks for what he describes as an evening of noodling around and very free-flowing booze. 30-year-old Eric is one of the members. He says he prefers the gay book club to Grindr because, on Grindr, you're meeting people and just going by looks. But at a book club, your intelligence and intellect are on display. intelligence is sexy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different kind of mating dance. It's also a great way to get to know about one another quickly while discussing characters, plots, themes, members, laugh, argue, debate, and overshare. There's an inhibition loosening abandoned to a book club, Chen says. In one meeting, you learn the kind of information about a person, their values, and their capacity for empathy, or the ability to engage in different points of view that would take at least three dinners. Book club meetings are effectively group speed dating. The conversations, Chen says, also serve as a powerful aphrodisiac.
Really?
25-year-old book clubber Garrett agrees. Reflecting on a flame he met through book club, he explains, I don't ordinarily entertain the idea of opposites attracting, but he had such divergent opinions that I couldn't help thinking, how could this same story lead to such different feelings in him? Things he hated, I loved. It drove me to talk to him afterward, and that evolved to something else. Pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Chen admits book club might not be for everyone. If the whole thing sounds elitist, well, it is. If you're not into the idea of overeducated people who have expendable income and time to grouse about made-up stories, I wouldn't suggest my book club. But dating elitists, as much as we are used palatable and euphemisms like common interest and compatibility, for certain gay men who want to commune with others like themselves, literally, speak critical thinking, bitchy, articulate, is an incredibly efficient screening service. God, I can't talk tonight. Sorry, folks. Luckily, y'all can read the article on our gay geek and bizarre Facebook page.
Yeah.
As Eric explains...
Oh, wait. That's an important line there.
Yeah, sorry. There's really only one rule to book club. No flirting.
That sucks. No way.
How can you be a bunch of gay men and not flirting?
Okay, I have... finish the article, and I have something to say about that line. Go ahead.
As Eric explains, if someone were flirting openly in the discussion of a book, that would be a social faux pas. I wouldn't want them to take it. I would want them to take it outside. But if you guys are flirting about the book, yeah, that's totally okay.
Okay, fine. Okay, I understand what he's saying, though. But if you're going to flirt,
gay guys can make sexual innuendos out of.
Well, that is true. I guess I understand what he's saying. If you're in a group, and you're flirting that way, I guess that is inappropriate. But if you're in one-on-one. At some point, you'll be on one-on-one with some person, you know, in the book club.
Yeah, but they're talking about doing this on a group setting, so.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is, no. What I'm saying is, at some point, when you break, take a break and have some glass of water or even go out and you talk, then you start flirting. I mean, you can flirt whenever you want. You freedom of speech. You can say whatever you want among each other.
But I mean, gay guys can, like, take flirting to a whole new level. I mean, they could be talking about the Tale of Two Cities. It was the worst of times. It was the best of times last night at the gay bathhouse.
Mm-hmm.
But it can go too far sometimes.
Okay. Anyway, so that is interesting.
But I think it's a great idea. Maybe we ought to look and try doing this here in Houston. So they have a gay gamers group. So why not have a gay book reading?
Exactly.
Group?
Oh, okay. So this is the gay book club. Okay, but there are other people, like you said, it's not for everyone. Some people go for sports bars, or even not necessarily a gay sports bar. It has just a sports bar because they just want to watch football, or even go games and watch football, and even softball. Some people do that. Well, like me, I play softball. Book clubs are
not right now. It's season's over with.
That's right. But what my point is, book club. Other people have other outlets of instead of book clubs, but a book club. Instead of Grindr, I guess it's a good one. But that might be is there any book club here? Ray, you're a fast reader. That's my problem too. You know, Ray, I'm a slow reader. I'm a very slow reader. I mean,
if you have a book club, you have to read pretty regularly.
Yeah,
because I think like if book clubs meet once a month, you usually read a new book a month.
Oh God, how fast can you read a book?
If I'm motivated, I can usually read it in about a week.
Oh, really?
Depending on how good the book is, if I can put it down or not. If I get addicted to it, yeah, I can read one in a couple of nights.
So
I read the Harry Potter books in about 2 days.
Oh.
If I could read nonstop.
Actually, I'm guilty about that. When it comes to really, really good books, like, you know, like Harry Potter back then, yeah, I was able to finish a book about 2 or 3 days. 3 days. Because I'm really into it. I couldn't put it down. Yes, but ever since the Harry Potter books... I haven't read a book that I couldn't put it down. That's something that I would like to engage with. You know, maybe I haven't found the right book.
Yeah, I wish I could write as fast as I could read. because then I'd have like 20 books out published by now, mm-hmm. instead of still working on one. So
all space bars, space. Kidding. Okay, Ray. So, what's our next story?
So y'all let us know what y'all think about gay book clubs. Does anybody else out there have a gay book club they go to?
Yeah, that would be interesting.
So y'all let us know. All right, Maynard, on to the geek. It's all yours, even though you stole it from my story.
I could take the next one because this is actually your story. I just moved it.
Mm-hmm. You just moved it.
I just moved it.
All right, well, if you want me to do this one, I will do it.
Because I'll go do the other one because I have so many things to talk about on the second one.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. Our first geek article is introducing Uber for Escorts, an app that makes finding an escort safer and more efficient.
So this is both geek and gay.
So yeah, it's like a cross.
It's a cross. It's a hybrid story.
Yeah. Do you need to hire an escort, but you're not sure where to look? Are the male-for-male pages of Craigslist a little too sketchy for you? Well, the inches are. Are you a little low on cash, but you've got space on your credit card? Well, search no further. Renewed? How do you say that?
Rendezvous.
I thought it was like rendezvous.
Rendezvous. I think it's rendezvous, but maybe it's rendezvous. But you know how it should be spelled. But
maybe it's rendezvous.
It's rendezvous. Well, rendezvous. Rendezvous. It looks
like rent. Like
yeah.
Rent. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Rendezvous is a new app specifically for escorts and their customers. I thought we had that here. I thought it was boyfriend. Oh, that's right. They shut that down. Is a new app specifically for escorts and their customers. Widely considered the Uber for Escorts, it allows sex workers to post real-time availability, list their prices, and display customer ratings. Oh, you get rated.
Oh, my God. You have this ratings.
This is a UK-based app. It is not here in the States.
Oh, damn it. Son of a bitch.
For our brothers across the pond and servants of the queen, they can use this app. Also allows clients to book appointments.
The queen can use
within 5 minutes. That's 5 minutes she can get your hookup on and enter their credit card info to pay for services. In other words, no more leaving the money on the nightstand. But I kind of like that. It makes me feel kind of dirty. Not that I don't deserve every dime. Mm-hmm. That's usually what I get is dimes and quarters that fall out.
Right.
It's also being praised for making sex work safer, as the appointment process involves an ID confirmation and all appointments are privately tracked. Once an appointment is over, the data is erased, meaning nobody knows it ever happened. Clever, no. But can you really erase the data? Can you?
I'm sure they can. I'm sure they keep it.
So people never think about online security from the point of view of a sex industry worker. CEO Ruben Coppa told the Daily Mail in the recent interview, but they arguably need it more than any other professional. Mm-hmm. Rendezvous is only recently launched, but it appears to be on the up and up. It just secured $700,000 in a recent round of funding, making it the only funded app in its niche. We're a technology company entering adult services, not the other way around, says Coppa. This gives us a unique perspective on the industry and helps us solve safety efficiently and usability issues effectively.
Okay.
So I wonder how this goes. I doubt it will happen here because we had a boy for hire, a boy toy. What was that we reported a few months ago or last year that the company got busted and they shut it down?
Oh, I can't remember that. But
wasn't it Boy for Hire or something like that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Boy Toy or something. It was one of those things that was based in New York, and they shut it down for prostitution and all kind of stuff like
that. Yeah, but, you know, this is a great idea because what's good about the Uber concept is that the services you get to rate, but it goes both ways. You get to rate the customer too. Mm-hmm. So that's why it does promote safety because – why?
But here's my deal about rating the customer. I thought it deletes all information so it can't be tracked back to you.
Huh, that's a good question.
So you can't, so how do you really rate a John? Unless they just keep a screen name and there's like, that's their screen name and this screen name contacts you for service, mm-hmm. that you can go look at their raters by the other workers. So
that means it's a one way, well, I guess you're right. That, according to the article, I just remembered that it does delete. But how? That's the problem, though. How do you know if the person who's trying to hire services is reputable?
Exactly. So I think they have to. I think maybe they're talking about the money and the date and the time and stuff, and you can just leave like, maybe or something. I don't know. If somebody across the pond that uses this app, let us know that listens.
I'm sure.
I know we got some English listeners.
I'm sure.
Try it out. Let us know what it's like.
Wait. I'm sure it's well, like I said, it's like almost like Yelp, Yelp for escort services. But I don't know, giving a rate to your you know prostitute or escort, and I don't know, it's an interesting business model, and I don't think it's easy. Wait, how about Las Vegas? It should happen in Las Vegas. You can do that in Las Vegas, can you?
You probably could, but that's still very regulated in the U.S. So I don't think this app's going to come here unless they change some laws, which, you know, with all the church doors and office now, that's going to be hard to do.
Do you think prostitution, okay, set aside, I know what you probably say that it can't happen, but do you think that if it does happen here, it would be beneficial? I guess it would be, because they'll be paying taxes if it becomes legal.
Here's the whole thing. If they made it legal, they would definitely charge taxes on it like everything else. It could be regulated. There could be health safety checks, all that kind of stuff. It'd be on the up and up, because now it's on the down low and you have to be shady about everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's not like, you know, if something happens bad with a John, you can run and go tell the police about it, because then you're prostitution, so they can arrest you.
Mm-hmm.
And the John gets away doing whatever they're doing. So
yeah, I don't know.
Or so I've heard.
How do you, Ray, feel about it being legal here in the U.S.?
I think I'm perfectly fine with it.
Me too.
I think as long as the people that are getting into it understand what they're getting into and are making money and everybody's safe and consensual, it's all good with me.
I think so too. Yeah, I agree the same, because you know, it's all, well, monetarily, it's you know, it's, you get to pay taxes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's...
And I mean, ultimately, when you go out on a date, how much do you spend?
is this how you equate it to dating? Not equate.
When you might go out on a date, what do y'all usually spend?
I see what you're saying.
Like a dinner. Like when y'all went to N7.
Yeah, we spent about $70 per person.
Okay, so that's $140.
Yeah.
Did you get laid that night?
No.
Okay, see, I'll rest my case.
It's not how you equate it. But it could be food porn too, you know. Food porn.
Well, that's good too. But you know, for $150 that I'd spend out on a date with somebody,
uh-huh.
Not that I'd spend that much because I'm a cheap ass, but I might have spent that $150 on a trick.
Mm-hmm. Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Is that the going rate now? Okay.
No, it's probably more than that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay, let's...
I'm a splendid daddy.
Yeah. Splendid daddy. I forgot about that. Okay, so let's go to our next geek story. Ray, you and I both have Echoes. Amazon Echo, I mean. I'm not going to say the A word, because it will trigger people's Amazon Echo, so... How do you like it so far? How do you like it so far?
I like it. I mean, I need to expand my plugins. You know, I bought some to plug lights and stuff in, and I need to expand that so I can get rid of some of the timers around the house so Alexa can run all that.
Oops, you said it. Okay. I was trying to avoid that word. Anyway, so yeah, what if you can call someone with that?
Well, you can call Alexa now if you got...
No. Call someone. Call me. I mean, talk to me through the Amazon Echo. That's what I meant.
I think we can now.
Yes, we can. But right now... No, right now...
Well, we can
currently we can.
Send messages, I know.
Yeah. Okay, so this is what the article is about. So Amazon Echo... Amazon is turning every Echo device into an intercom. So I guess you just need to set it up on your phone. So if you've got multiple Amazon Echo devices throughout your home, you'll soon be able to use them as connected intercom. Amazon just launched the feature today across the original Echo, Echo Dot, and its new screen-toting Echo Show. That's the one with the screen, right? So we heard last month that the intercom capability was in the works, and it seemed like a given once Amazon brought hands-free calling and messaging across the Echo family. I've tried the messaging. It's pretty okay. I was messaging someone in Virginia, a friend of mine. So the company is rolling out the feature over the next few days, but be sure to update your Alexa app to access it. We haven't had a chance to test out the intercom feature yet, but it seems pretty straightforward. You just have to name your Echo devices by room and enable drop-in feature in the Alexa app. After that, you can tell Alexa to call or drop in to an to I said the word to a specific Echo device. Even better, you can use the intercom feature when you're away from home through the A word app. Okay, while the idea of a home intercom might seem a bit antiquated in our hyper-connected lives, it makes sense for Echo devices. Yeah, I guess it does. Many Echo owners end up buying multiple devices, and it's not that difficult for Amazon to add room-to-room communication. And most importantly, it cements the Echo family as something essential to your daily life. It's actually a good idea.
So here's the deal. I wonder how soon this can be turned into a baby monitor.
That's gonna be full time listening.
But I could say, hey, listen to the nursery, and you could hear what was going on in the nursery.
Yeah, I guess that's a good idea. I mean, like, listen for a few. So, there's an Amazon Echo in the
other. Because those baby monitors are not cheap.
Yeah, I guess, but
and now that Alexa's coming out with video stuff too. I mean,
Amazon Show. That's the Amazon Echo Show. It's actually it's like a view screen.
Have you got the one that helps you get dressed, Maynard?
Get dressed.
There's an Amazon one that takes pictures of you and looks at your wardrobe and tells you yay or nay.
Oh, I don't know. No, I don't have that. I don't think so.
Yeah, you need to get that, really.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah, right. So what's good about this Amazon Echo feature is that I guess it's only helpful if you're in the same household. Well, you and I have
because we share your Amazon account.
So if we do that, wonderful.
But I don't really want to do that because I might be doing something and all of a sudden, Ray. Kills the mood.
Well, what if I intercom and then talk to you and then say, you can do it. Yes. Take selfies, take pictures. And I don't know. Harder.
No.
You don't want any disturbance. So actually, you haven't set up yours, I think. Have you tried calling someone with that?
I think you called me. I left me a message.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because usually I text you, so.
What do you think? Which one's faster, though? Using it as an intercom or text messaging each other in the house?
If we're living in the same house, it would have probably been helpful when you were upstairs or downstairs, but I enjoyed yelling out the door, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, interesting. All right.
Because to really make it useful, you'd have to have one in every room.
That's right.
And if you had a McMansion, it might be worth it.
Actually, where you are right now, that would be very, very useful downstairs.
Sure.
Yeah, because you have floors.
Multiple. But I usually don't want to talk to them. I come in and do my time with them, and then I come lock myself in my room and hide out.
Well, that's the point too, because too much of these technologies is something. Way too much. Like I said, yeah.
But if I had a bigger, older house, I mean, that would be an easy way to do it. Because, a lot of these old houses used to have those old intercom systems for people downstairs in the kitchen and upstairs in the bedroom. So it could replace that. And the Echoes aren't that expensive. So I could see somebody that can afford a house like that would have space for them. So.
Okay.
But then if you put one in your guest room and you could say, hey, listen to guest room, and you can hear guest having sex. Oh yeah!
Invite people who would have sex in.
Oh yeah! Fuck me hard! Yeah! Oh yeah! Oh. Take that! Oh yeah!
Oh yeah!
That's not that word. It's about privacy.
That's nasty, but hot. Okay. Can I take this one with this bizarre? Because
the first one, she can take
this. I can take this one. Okay. So, guys, we're going to go to bizarre now. So
Maynard likes taking it.
Yes. Wait, what? What did you say? Popular French fitness blogger dies in strange whipped cream dispenser accident. Now, this is a true bizarre. This is a bizarre story. That's awesome. Okay.
And this is sad because she was very beautiful.
She's sexy. In the article, it's pretty. Instagram. She says Instagram. She's Instagram model and fitness blogger Rebecca Berger. Nice name. Too bad she died, though. Died this weekend after being struck in the chest when a faulty whipped cream dispenser exploded in her kitchen, sending her into cardiac arrest. The Washington Post reports that whoever is now in charge of her Instagram account posted an image of the type of dispenser that killed Berger, writing, "Here's an example of the cartridge / siphon for whipped cream that exploded and struck Rebecca's chest and killing her. Take note, the cartridge that caused her death was sealed. Do not use this type of device in your home. Tens of thousands of these appliances are still in circulation. The way whipped cream dispensers work is by using nitrous oxide canisters." Wow. "If a canister is punctured, the gas will be released and the whole thing will become pressurized." According to the French website, 2 people were seriously injured by dispensers in 2014, and the French Economy Ministry issued a warning to consumers about them. USA Today reports that the maker of the product, Ardtime, claims the dispenser hasn't been on the market since a first incident implicating a siphon in February 2013, but added, "Unfortunately, there are still lots of siphons of all brands that remain potentially dangerous as time passes." Benjamin Duriez, the deputy editor of 60 Millions, told USA Today by phone that this is the first death they've heard of from one of these explosions, but they knew it would happen one day. So, I guess she's just cooking in the kitchen and cooking some healthy food because she is a trainer or a fitness blogger. So, and then,
well, she was probably using it, and because the whole thing got pressurized, she was shaking it or taking the lid off to refill it.
Yep.
And it probably exploded her, and when it hit her in the chest, it hit her so hard it caused the cardiac arrest.
Yeah, must be. So, how hard could that be? I guess it is really,
it had to be pretty hard. Very hard. That whole nitrous thing exploded. Yeah. I think that's pretty hard.
Yeah. Must have really, there's no puncture or anything, but being hit in the right, yeah, middle, it's right in the middle, yeah, of her chest, I guess. Yeah. Wow.
I mean, if you get hit in the chest hard enough, it'll cause cardiac arrest because it compressed the chest against the heart. Cause inflammation and stuff. So,
it's really sad.
That's a horrible way to go.
I know. That's right. Way. Especially when you're probably cooking something that would be, you know, you're doing something in the kitchen that's really something healthy, and then you die because, yeah, oh, it's really horrible. Well, condolences to his family and friends. Okay.
Her family.
All right, Ray. Her family. Did I say him?
Her family. You said him.
Oh, him. Okay, her family. Okay, let's go to the next article, Ray.
Okay, people. What the hell? Y'all got too much money to spend.
That's, I know. And these people are just...
People are dropping $25,000 to beautify their buttholes with plastic surgery. It's a asshole, people. It's an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are some pretty assholes out there because I see them roll through Tumblr all the time.
Yes.
So I can understand it, but really, come on now.
There's some people who don't.
There's a buttload of money in anal rejuvenation. Just ask Dr. Evan Goldstein, a Manhattan surgeon who has pioneered the practice of making buttholes beautiful and more sexually compatible through Botox, tightening and loosening procedures.
That's dangerous.
It's kind of crazy. I do not think I would be playing with the ass all day. That's for sure, Dr. Goldstein told Money-ish. As a gay man, Goldstein, who began his medical career as a cardiothoracic surgeon, wondered how he could help his community. He noticed that most doctors performing anal surgery were treating hemorrhoids or cancer, but were not looking at the anus as a cosmetic or sexually function, he said. So he opened his bespoke surgical practice on East 12th Street in 2010, where he offers medical services to treat hemorrhoids, skin tags, and fissures, as well as cosmetic procedures like Botox, dilating, and tightening services.
Tightening services.
From $5,000 to $25,000, depending on the severity of the case. Man,
tightening?
$5,000. You can get yours tightened up.
What?
So it won't be dragging the ground.
What?
Sometimes people come in with really bad booties, said Dr. Goldstein. And he's not the only surgeon specializing in these niche procedures. Dr. Norman M. Rowe, who practices in New York and New Jersey, uses non-invasive radio frequency energy to heat and tighten anal tissues. And Los Angeles-based Dr. Zira A. Merle offers a rejuvenation and bleaching services that treat hemorrhoids, skin tags, and polyps. Many of these cosmetic issues stem from something medical, which means that patients may find insurance covers their procedures wrong, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe I need to go talk to one of these doctors. Mm-hmm. That was not that the gates of Valhalla have ever been opened, but that was the case for Joseph 45, who asked to speak to Manish under an alias. Joseph got a hemorrhoid he'd suffered for 5 years, treated in February. It was unquestionably a medical issue. I wasn't going in and saying, hey, tighten things up and make them look pretty, he said. But noted, that was definitely an added benefit. I love it. Everything looks normal again. Best of all, the procedure also has rejuvenated his love life. I had sex with my husband, and it's like, wow, I'm 20 years younger, he said. This is not a stretched out ass. It's back to how it was when he met me 13 years
ago. Oh, gosh, really?
Or back when he should have said, it turned it into a 13-year-old bum.
No, no, please, still, Ray, no, not 13-year-old.
Still, the recovery process is painful. There are one or two days of really not liking me, especially when it was time to go to the bathroom, said Dr. Goldstein. None of these patients take pain medication, numbing lotions, and suppositories so they can do their business. You can expect a good 2 weeks of bathroom discomfort and forget about the sex. Bother me at least for 3 months. Number of men having plastic surgery continues to rise, according to the American Society of Plastic Surgeons, which reported that 1.3 million total cosmetic procedures were performed on men last year, up 3% from the year before. And while they didn't record anal rejuvenation procedures in particular, profits of Dr. Goldstein's business have climbed 20% year over year, and he's opened a second clinic in Beverly Hills.
Wow, the anal rejuvenation Trewell, market.
Concierge at the DuPage Dormitory and Laser Center in Illinois told Manish that in the last 30 days alone, he's already had more than 42 requests for anal rejuvenation using the Divi laser.
Diva. They're not only it's a Diva laser.
they're not only treating gay men, although both Goldstein and Treadwell said they make up most of their businesses. I get a lot of women now, too, who as anal sex become more accepted, said Goldstein. In 2015, found 1 in 3 straight women in the U.S. have tried it, and 13% have done it within the past year.
Anal rejuvenation.
Yes, just like vaginal rejuvenation for some older women.
Well, I guess.
For Rob, who's 44, from Bookman, who has lost his husband to lung cancer 2 years ago, anal rejuvenation and hemorrhoid removal helped him get back into the dating game.
Really?
Hemorrhoids are embarrassing. They're not something you want to spring on somebody. Oh, that's true. It gets kind of bloody. So you have to explain ahead of time or you freak your partner out in the moment, he told Manish. Rob said he'd recommend the procedures to others too. It's so worth it just for the peace of mind, if nothing else, he said. Some doctors tied up the botch work that other physicians leave behind. Tom, a 48-year-old in Manhattan, has some serious scarring from another procedure that narrowed the opening to his anus. It was horrific, like Freddy Krueger performed it, he said. Normally, dating activity using the bathroom was difficult, and sex was out of the question. So he began getting that taken care of in 2012, and he's had about $70,000 worth of surgery over 5 procedures to clear the scar tissue, loosen the opening, and make everything down there look good again. He also got Botox injections to release muscles around his anus so that they can enjoy bottom sex once more. It sounds crazy. People laugh, they ask. Doesn't your butthole look younger now, he said. It probably does, but seriously, I identify with my sexuality very strongly, and I couldn't receive anal sex for 7 years. That was a big issue for me.
Mm.
So the Botox, years of surgery, and $70,000 tab were worth it when he was able to finally bottom to have sex again recently. How does it feel? Woohoo, yes, it was a victory, he said. And the guy was like, wow, you have a beautiful butthole. It just made me feel so good. This is all I wanted from the beginning. For this tiny little thing to look beautiful.
Wait. Is this a real article, though? Good. Can't be saying butthole in an article. I guess it's.
Yes, you can.
Okay, buttholes. But yeah, it's actually butthole rejuvenation. Maybe that should be the title of the show.
Maybe you need to go get some rejuvenation there, man.
No, I don't need that. I'm fine. I'm fine. Really fine. No. Yeah. It's interesting. So, okay. So I guess many, if it's covered by insurance, I guess you can do that, right? And if once you reach your premium, what is it?
The deductible.
Yeah. When you get that, yeah, then it's good enough for you to,
yeah,
to charge it all. What? Unless
the Republicans screwed the healthcare shit up again.
Oh no, that will drastically go down. I bet it will. Yeah, that's pretty sad. Anyways, interesting articles today, Ray. Good choices. Okay. Yeah. All right. So, what else am I going to say? Oh, yeah, that's pretty much it. That's the whole show. Wow, we're running for some time.
That's the butt of it.
That's the butt of it. Okay, so thank you, everyone, for listening. Well, special thanks to Caesar for their great articles on Facebook. That's on facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre. If you guys want to contact us, send your emails to show@gaygeekbizarre.com.
Or call and leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio.
Yes. And go to the official website at gaygeekbizarre.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll catch you guys in the next show. Bye.
Butt rejuvenation.